Hey, 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 this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sodell Concepts. Sodell Concepts is excited to open Thompson Island Brewing Company this fall, their 12th location. Thompson Island will be a 250-seat brew pub located off Route 1 next to Blue Coast Rehoboth. The brew pub will pay homage to the area and will feature an outdoor beer garden with fun activities at our beach. They're also excited to partner with Trogs Independent Brewing, which together they will feature award-winning craft beers. Their menu will feature amazing food crafted by Chef Doug Rooley, which will include local, fresh ingredients, wood-fired favorites that will pair perfectly with our beer. Follow along and stay up to date as Thompson Island Brewing Company comes to life. Make sure to follow them on Facebook at Thompson Island Brewing Company or at www.thompsonislandbrewing.com. Nice.
I'm about the least stressed out person.
Yeah, that's true.
3, 2, 1. Good morning, least stressed out person in the world. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm second least stressed out person. I thought on my way here, I'm like, God, I'm so least stressed out this morning, but I think you might have beat me.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it is a beautiful day. I got to get out on the bike. This morning was supposed to be a nor'easter storm of the century. Forget all activities, early morning activities, and I got up.
Is that supposed to hit tomorrow now?
I don't even know. I turned off the news and the weather channel. I mean, I literally turned them off. I have no idea. I gather information from people.
I look at the weather in the morning and see what it's going to be out. And
well, my wife told me, because I have a commitment on Wednesdays to either run or ride a bike, and we had committed to running. I was like, let's start running again today. Today's the day. And I got up, and it was beautiful. It was warm, no wind. I'm like, okay, one more ride. So yeah. We did the bike, and it was beautiful.
Was it good?
Oh, my God. I don't know if you saw the sunrise this morning, but it was phenomenal.
I kicked my kid out the door this morning about 6:37 to go to school, and I saw the pink, and it was beautiful colors.
Yep. We got to the boardwalk. We got there right about 6:50.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So forget about that stuff. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for coming on the Rehoboth Social Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
One small business helping another. And this is one of my favorite kind of podcasts because I have no idea who you are. Oh, so I get to learn, introduce, and learn about you and hopefully make a new friend. But so I'll be guiding us and listening because I don't know everything. And it's always nice to be open to learning new stuff. So why don't you introduce yourself and introduce what you do.
All right. My name's Donnie Mails. I've owned a small business for about 10 years now.
Love it.
We're in our 10th year, actually. Our 10-year anniversary, I guess, will be next July. Mm. So we're very lucky. We've been in the Rehoboth-Lewis area for that long. My business is a computer networking company. So we do small business networking. We're Dell resellers and certified. We're Microsoft partners and certified in Microsoft. We're an MSP. We do managed services.
Nice.
So we come in, manage your whole network, and consult and provide you the best, for your company and for your data, and make sure that stuff's secure. And
well, maybe one day we'll be big enough where we can actually need a guy to manage our data. Because right now it's pretty simple, but I see that in the future. We're gonna have to be calling on you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Give me a call. I'll come in and tell you what I think. And
so what is that? I mean, and 10 years. So I opened the salon 9 years ago. So September was 9 years. So 10 years ago, we were kind of in that same, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Were you working for somebody prior? And then
I'm still in that. Oh, my God.
At what point did we finally say, okay, maybe we can relax a little?
I don't know. I haven't found that yet.
Corporate asked me, do you start businesses to work at or to sell? And I said, I guess to work at.
Yeah.
Are you the same way?
Yeah. I guess I am.
When he asked me that, I had to think, and then I said, I guess I'm that guy. I want to work somewhere. I just don't want to work for anybody. I want to work for myself.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever work for somebody again. I've been working for myself now longer than I've ever worked for anybody.
Right.
So, I don't think I could ever go back.
Well, I love doing this podcast because I love to hear the story, but it always makes me think of the guy that may listen to this podcast and go, mm-hmm. I want to work for myself.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Sometimes, you know, it gets frustrating and
scary.
You know, it's very scary, you know, when you have a family and a mortgage and, you know, all that, and you're trying to rely on this business that, you know, you think, hey, you know what, this is going to bring me in more wealth than, you know, working for somebody else.
Right. Do you remember the night that you decided you were going to open your own business, how it was laying in bed?
I'll never forget the day.
The day
that I said that I'm going to, you had asked if I worked for a previous company, and I did. I worked for them for about 7.5 years. And the ethics of the owner is really what drove me to open my own business. I thought that he was coming down on and preying on the ignorance of small businesses because
right.
they didn't know. So he was overselling, overbidding, and you know, these poor small businesses didn't know better,
right.
you know, and for me, I want them to succeed so I can succeed.
Right.
You know, the better that they do, the better that they're going to bring me back in, the better that they're going to spend money or use my services.
Did you remember thinking that you are going to become a millionaire?
No, I've never
you didn't
thought
think
that for a second.
Well, is it just me? Because when I opened my business, I'm like, oh, this is going to be big time.
Yeah.
I remember I had a whole plan. I had all these people that were going to come work for me. I had it all worked out. I wrote it all up. I opened the door, and I said, all right, let's go, all of you that were going to come work for me. And nobody showed up.
Yeah, I don't think I ever thought that.
It could be my sickness.
You know, I just, you know, for me it was, you know, what can I give? I'm not, I don't have a lot of college background.
Right.
What can I give to my children? You know, I didn't really plan financially great through my 20s and my 30s.
Right.
So, you know, what do I have? I don't have a 401k. I don't have anything to leave to them. What can I do that's going to better their chances on succession, you know, for themselves?
That's a good question. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. Why don't you have a 401k?
I don't have a 401k because I took it out when I left my previous company to start my company.
Right.
And I've never invested back into it.
So you should probably, and I'm not going to tell you, I know that I faced the same thing about 3 years ago. I didn't, mm-hmm. I have a degree in turf management. I went to Rutgers and was in the golf course business, worked at a country club, had a 401k, put money in the 401k, and then just kind of forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And started taking a look at some of the things that I had going financially for me, and that 401k, I had to kind of go find it. Found it, took all that money, put it in a place, and then I met with the guy, and he says, listen, you should at least take $100 and put it in a month.
Mm-hmm.
That little bit amount. And I was like, oh, $100. So I said, all right, I put $200 a month into this 401k. It isn't a lot, but I've been doing it, and I have not noticed a difference in my money.
Yeah,
so I would waste $200 probably.
You don't realize you have it because you're putting it away each month, and
right.
then that's where it goes. I'm about at that place now to start investing not only in a 401k but maybe some other things. You know, one of the things that had pushed me back was I was 3 years in business. I was just starting to, you know, kind of feel my way and make my way, and me and my wife separated.
Mm.
So the bad part is that's a critical time in business,
mm-hmm.
is that third year. So I had to make a decision. I had two employees at the time, and I had to make a decision to, you know, look, I was going to have to get rid of the employees because I couldn't afford to keep the business open if I had the employees. But regardless, either way, I was going to have to get rid of the employees. So I kind of had to start over from scratch
yep.
at year three. And luckily, I still had a couple core, you know, clients there that would, you know, keep me through. And luckily,
I can tell you, just
keep on.
In the 9 years I've had this salon, it's evolved and changed in many, many ways. I mean, I had two spaces at one time, a hole in the wall that we all, you know, not a hole, but, you know, I cut a pathway through the wall. And I had employees, I had a front desk person. And that picture of what it was then to the picture of I closed the hole, shut down one side, now I only do chair rental, no employees, no front desk. We all check out people on our phones. Just how it's evolved over 9 years, but here we are. It's, you know, I think that as, you remind me a lot of myself. I'm always scared.
Always.
You know, it's always. I never have enough money.
You know, I thought a while ago, I thought, you know, when people say, oh, you know, that business owner's greedy, it's not that they're greedy. It's that they have a mindset all of a sudden of, what if this stops? What if my income flow stops? What am I going to do? So it's not that, you know, we're greedy as small business owners. It's we're worried about our future.
We're worried about our future. Well, yeah. It's financial. I'm always the kind of, if you gave me a dollar, I want to. You know, it's just, right. I never have enough. But, you know, like my buddy Matt always used to say, and I've said it before, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should all work out.
Well, I'm on a good track so far.
Sometimes I have to break it down like that because I'll make something out of everything, you know. I'm like, oh, my God, what about this and what about that? But, you know, in the end, behind the scenes, I'm actually living a pretty decent life, you know.
Yeah, I am too now.
And, you know, as long as we stay honest, I had an incident that happened to me the other day. I had a lady come in and she goes, you know, you double charged me on my credit card. And I was like, oh, my God, what? Never. Here it is. And I'm like, oh. And I go back into my phone because I use the Square and I look in. There it is. I double charged her. And I go into this whole thing, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I would never steal. You know, right, I would never do that. Right. And I've never done that, and it was clearly an accident, but I'm like, it all of a sudden brought up, like, old, like, teenage feelings, like, I'm super sorry, you know. And
what did I do?
Yeah,
I'm
what
shamed.
Did I do? Exactly. So, but it's important as a small business owner, for me, I'll only speak for me, to be very honest, you know, because.
Yeah, and that's what drove me into my business was because I felt that, you know, my previous employer wasn't. Right. Or, you know, now that I've been out on my own, I see a lot of, you know, things that he did, and I definitely have a lot of respect for the company that he built. And, you know, when it goes back to the, you know, why are you overcharging these people? Why are you doing that? You know, because, you know, if I sit back and think about it, he had 20 employees, you know, and all these families are depending on him,
right?
Him to provide.
Right.
You know, so I kind of understand. I don't agree with it, but, you know, I kind of understand why maybe he was doing certain things. But I could never do some of those things. I never want to overcharge, like you just said, or double charge. And you try to be conscious about that, but it always doesn't.
It's yeah, it happens.
You know, things slip through.
Well, and yeah, shit happens, and it's unfortunate. And I cut her hair for free, and we all got that all cleared up. You know, I love the term cooperation over competition. And as a small business owner, you know, I remember, like, opening the salon and, you know, having, you know, these dreams of success. And then all of a sudden another salon would open. And I was like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. Well, we're done because they're going to just take all my business. And I lived like that for a while. But now today I'm like, and I talk to, like, other people that come in about small business, especially a friend of mine owned a gym, and another gym had opened. And I'm like, why don't you just send them a fruit basket? You know, how can I help you? You know, cooperation over competition. You know, when we can't do certain services, I send them to other salons. I don't just, you know, act like I'm the only salon. Do you try to participate in that, or are you still, like, I don't even know how many of these small businesses like yours are around here.
There's a few of us around. I think I'm probably the smallest of them. You know, you have some of the other companies that have been in business for a while, or, you know, this is what I think about that, because I've thought about that a lot. You know, here comes a new business, or how do I compete with these other companies that are trying to do the same thing that I am? And
corporate. What was that,
oh,
bro?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that a tune you want us to hear?
Are you hiring?
I think that was Spotify was on your TV. But, you know,
nice. We were actually doing some singing before you
got. Oh, fantastic.
It was bad. Sorry.
As you were.
I actually have one of those at home.
Carry on. What? What do you got?
The Personas.
Oh, the headphone splitter?
Well, is that a splitter? So I have a recorder.
Yeah, no, that's a splitter, but I think
they make a good product.
I love that product.
Yeah, me too. So anyway, back to
cooperation over competition.
Yeah, so the competition, this is the way I feel about it is, you know, I have my core subscribers to to my service is to believe in what I do, and I'm confident in my service. I don't feel like I'm ever going to lose a company that I bring on board,
right.
Because of not only what I have to offer, but my customer service with them and my, you know, my personal kind of reputation that.
Which sometimes gets lost as a company gets bigger, right?
That's right. And that's one of the things that I'm scared of, too, because I'm very personable with the companies that I work for. So as far as the competition goes, one of the things that I don't do is website design.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'll push into a company that's in the area, even though they may have some of the same services I do. You know, I want the company, I want my client to succeed.
Right.
You know, no matter what. And I'm not going to stand in their way, and I'm only going to facilitate their, you know, their growth as a company as well.
That's cool. I mean, it's a much more peaceful existence when
it
we
is.
Help others.
It
and
is.
And I, you know, I think other businesses, you know, recognize that. Because it can be a little scary in the business world and competing against other businesses. And I've seen people that just take that negative stance, like, oh, well, I can't help you. I don't know anybody that can do that. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you say, listen, I know a lot of great, you know, go see my friend. Tell him I sent you.
Yeah.
You know, it comes back.
Yeah, it does. And that's the way I feel about it is, you know, the stuff that you put out there comes back to
you. Well, and then there's bigger businesses that don't feel like dealing with smaller jobs.
That's
and,
right.
You know, then they say, listen, let's go send it over to Donnie. And, you know, Donnie does a great job, more personable, can handle something smaller like that. So
yeah, that's exactly how I feel. And, you know, there's small businesses that are in, I guess you would call competition with me, but I don't really feel that it's competition. You know, they're just trying to survive, too. They're small businesses. They have families, you know, and stuff like that that they need to take care of. So I'm all for their small business in the same area. You know, there's more than enough to go around.
I need to start thinking about this kind of stuff. So what is it? When you get, like, too many computers, you just your day, your gets too messy, you can kind of streamline the way data comes in or is distributed to your computers, your network inside your company?
Yeah, so we work from, you know, kind of the outside in. So we kind of protect your company
right.
with a barrier, whether it's, you know, cloud apps or running services, you know, in the cloud and stuff like that, or if they're hosted on sites. My biggest client, we probably have 5-6 servers on site, and then they have probably about 30 computers altogether throughout the company. And, you know, we protect their complete infrastructure and make sure that, you know, their data flow coming in, whether it's email or, you know, whether it's their software that they're using, you know, if it's a hotel, their PMS software, or their point of sale systems, stuff like that, making sure that they have good throughput and they don't go down and they stay up, you know, as much as we can keep them up. And they have a good backup. So if something were to happen, if a, you know, a virus or something were to get into somewhere, we could easily, you know, take them back and get them back up and running, you know, quickly.
So we're building an addition. We're building an addition for my four-bedroom house. But my son goes, well, can I get Ethernet? I'm like, dude, what do you need Ethernet for? But then I'm thinking, I kind of feel like running Ethernet all through the house. Is that, would you recommend that? I feel like there are so many things on our freaking Wi-Fi. I mean, we must have 10 things. Would there be any benefit to running Ethernet throughout the speed?
Speed, but, you know, I don't, let's see, I have 4 bedrooms in my house, and our modem router is down in the, you know, towards the bottom right side, so 3 of the bedrooms are in the top left of the house, and you know, I just run an extender.
I, you know, remember Xfinity started doing those X1s? They're like these little things you plug in.
Oh yeah, I saw that. They have like a whole system, so they put in the main router, and then you have plugins.
It was I bought it. It was terrible.
So I don't know if I would do Ethernet. Maybe you could do The word escapes me. So it's actually over the power lines.
Okay.
So you can actually plug it into your electric socket, and you plug your Ethernet from your modem into that unit, and then you can go plug another one in wherever you want in your house.
Oh.
And you don't have to rip up the walls or anything like that, and you're actually using it over the power line in your house.
So you would recommend that over running hardwire?
Sure. Yeah, because, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to have to go into the walls to run it properly.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm just,
what about mesh Wi-Fi? No.
You know, somebody was telling me about that. I don't know a lot about it.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, you plug them into your power outlets, and it just acts as a Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's what this is.
That's mesh Wi-Fi, I think. Yeah. I mean, that's what Comcast calls it.
Is that
X1? Because I bought that, and it's a bunch of mesh shit. It's a bunch of mesh is what it is.
Let's look at it, because I'm curious, too.
Well, and So even at the salon here, if I go into my salon, if I search for my Wi-Fi, I have a Thomas David Salon 2.4,
mm-hmm.
and I have a Thomas David Salon 5.0. So I have two. It's like the 2.5 or 2.4 is for like guests, and the 5 is a little more quicker for like my office or the salon computers. I had it at my house. I buy this X1 series, which comes with these three pods that you plug into the
right there on the home.
That's it.
These things. Yeah, that's what they call that. Wi-Fi system, like a mesh, like you're creating a spider web throughout.
No, see the
house.
Comcast XF1
mesh,
pods right
mesh
there.
Mesh was an old technology that they used to use a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
which was all your computers on the same, you know, kind of mesh together.
Right.
No, you see the X5 Wi-Fi extenders? Yeah, those right down here. Nope.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's it right there. Click that. See what that is. So that's what I bought. So when I plugged them all in and set it all up, it got rid of one of my Wi-Fis, and it just says house now. And it did not.
So it's going to auto-select what speed and what you're using.
Right. And they didn't work. They were terrible. Mm-hmm. And so I unplugged them, got rid of them, and now I only have one Wi-Fi again. Like it just says house. Like I didn't have my higher speed one. So I'm going to have to call them because it did not help. But so running hardwire is not a solution either.
You know, 5 is a broader band but shorter distance.
Oh.
So you can't go as far away from the wireless unit.
Oh, okay.
The 2.4 is going to give you greater distance, but it's going to give you a smaller.
Ooh, Donnie.
A smaller pipe.
Dropping info. That was a
boom.
Boom.
You just dropped your expensive mic.
Shut it down. There it goes. I did not know that. Thank you. See, I'm a fan. I appreciate that. So
you'll get my bill in the mail.
Invoice. Not 30.
Just reverted back to your old boss, Donnie. Nice. The pirate. Well, so what's your future like? I'll go corporate. What's your future like for the next 10 years, Donnie?
Oh, I can't wait. It's so good, especially this coming year. So much planned. So we have our offices should be done in about 2 months here. Ooh. That's going to be over top of Turnstone Builders down in Rehoboth, right across from Big Fish Grill.
Okay.
And I just finally brought on another employee about 5 months ago, and now I'm looking for a full-time, I don't want to say receptionist.
Installer?
Assistant. To manage kind of the back end. You know, one of the things that, you know, we do is we have a skill set or something that we think that's marketable or sellable or, you know, stuff like that. But then we always forget about the back end,
right.
You know, where, you know, that's not really where our skill set falls. So, you know, managing that back end of your business is, you know, as important as the rest of it. So I'm looking for somebody to do that. And then hopefully in the spring, I'm going to be hiring one or two more technicians.
Now, do you team up with anybody? Like my buddy down here, Gabby, he's got Home Theater Solutions. You know, they do home theater stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they install, you know, Ethernet and all that other stuff. I mean, do you team up with people? Some people like a home theater place that doesn't do that part. I mean, do you install speakers?
No. I don't install anything like that. But I also don't do home stuff. Okay. So I only do small business.
Right. But like, you know, Donnie does, like he did all the Sodell restaurants. I mean, not Donnie, excuse me, Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
They when Matt was alive, he would have them, and he still does work for, so they still do a lot, like they just did Thompson Island Brewing. I think I shouldn't have said that. I think they did. But like, there's do you like go shake hands and kiss some babies and reach Absolutely. Out and go meet some people and say,
He's
listen,
the king of that.
Yeah, I am
on the forehead.
I do. I'm very open to meeting people and forward. You know, not real forward,
You're very
but
engaging.
But yes, that's I
You're
like
very
that.
Engaging. And I got your new profile picture, by the way, up.
Oh, that's nice.
I love it.
Did you get the new phone?
Isn't that sweet?
Is that the 11?
Isn't that sweet?
You got the 11?
Isn't that sweet?
That's it.
No, I don't have the 11. That's just
that's just snap out. It's the I got no money.
That's a portrait mode in the X. You have that same thing.
I love it. It looks good. Isn't good that job. Cool? We'll post that. So once you, well, I don't. Yeah, we got to put that on our Instagram. But yeah, so you do. I mean, I had to hit the streets. I mean, he just told me I got to be hitting the streets soon anyway. But the, you know, I walk around. I just park my car and just start walking to businesses, shaking hands. How you doing? This is what we're doing. People are like, get out of here. Or, hey, you know, some people aren't used to somebody, another small business owner coming in and just introducing themselves and saying, listen, this is a service we're providing. If you get in, you know, maybe you might need us one day. Do you ever do that? I mean, it's
well,
intimidating,
so far,
but it's almost necessary nowadays.
So
right?
far, all of my work has been word of mouth. I don't market. I don't do any yet. But that's one of the things that I'm planning to do in the near future is, you know, to actually grow the company, you know, to a point where, you know, it's a business and, you know, it's a full business. I mean, I know it's a business now, but, you know, that we have a full service business and I'm actually the one that's going out there more and more to sell, to, you know, engage more.
Do you think there's a need for hardwiring, running wire for houses instead of all Bluetooth or Wi-Fi? I mean, we love Wi-Fi, right? Everybody's Wi-Fi'd up. But are we going to get to a point where we're going to find? I can tell you, I see the Wi-Fi slowing down. I have noticed it to slow down. Do you notice that?
What do you mean as in slowing down?
Well, it just seems like especially in my house, like we used to have great Wi-Fi, and now, like even this morning, the Wi-Fi wasn't working. The TV was working.
Maybe we need to plug those units back in.
Is that your expert opinion? No, you may be right, but I'm just trying to understand. Is this what do you think we may someday become so Wi-Fi'd up that, you know, if more things are on Wi-Fi, it slows down? Is that correct?
It is correct. Okay. It will slow down your home network.
Because I can say 5 years ago, we maybe had a computer and an iPad and maybe my phone. But now three iPads, all the TVs, all the smart TVs. We have one TV that's on Xfinity and the rest are on just Wi-Fi.
You need those pods, Tom.
Yeah, so I would
have them.
I would have to say that you should have somebody come in and set up your wireless for you. Because I, you know, again, I'm a technical guy, so... You know, in my house, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 TVs that are hooked up wirelessly, two Xboxes, a PlayStation, my computer, my kids' laptops, phones, and we don't experience the slowness. Now, I do have Fios where I live, so.
Well, and I guess I wasn't really trying to. I was trying to see if maybe your service might be found using in houses, because you say you don't work with residential. It's more small business. I'm like, sure. Do you think one day you might be doing more residential? Do you think that might be something you could get into? No.
No, I don't think so. Not the way my business is structured, because I'm a managed service provider. So. Okay. What we provide is, you know, you come on board with us. We're monitoring your network. We're monitoring your email. We're providing you with antivirus. We're providing you with backup solutions and, you know, disaster recovery solutions as well.
Yeah, and that's not going on in the house.
Yeah, that stuff's not going on in the house.
I was just trying to think for, like, branching out, like, different parts of your business growing.
Do I think maybe on down the line, maybe... that I'll have some installation company that'll come in that will, you know, install maybe home Wi-Fi, cameras, security, and stuff like that. Maybe. I mean, that might be a branch that I would, you know, look into to doing.
I do love Wi-Fi. I do love the idea of it, but it just seems like more and more and more Wi-Fi is going up. And then you'll talk, like I have one friend who's like, oh, Wi-Fi is bad for your brain. He's like, you know, these things flying through the air are bad for your brain. You shouldn't be close to your Wi-Fi. My Wi-Fi box is right by my bed. Mm-hmm. So it's constantly just blasting into my head, you know, and I don't really read too much into that. But then I'm like, well, I mean, what if we could, like, hardwire some of this stuff? I wonder if it would be a little bit better. But
well, I mean, it would cut down on the radio waves.
Yeah, right. Mm. So what is the, so you got maybe a new employee coming on?
A couple, probably. Couple. Hopefully in the next year.
So you monitor 24/7?
We do. We have alerts and stuff that alert us to, you know, let's say your company's has multiple computers and one of them somehow has some bot or some virus or malware that's actually has attacked your email and is sending out spam constantly, and your name gets on a blacklist. So, you know, we would know minutes after it hits the blacklist that, you know, we have a problem. You know, somebody's got something that's sending it out. So
have you ever had, or not to be specific, but have you had to deal with some big attacks? Or
yeah, I had one company a couple years ago got hit by a ransomware.
Mm.
And
that is scary.
It is scary.
I watched the whole special on that on 60 Minutes.
It is scary, but the thing is if you're taken care of, then, you know, your downtime's going to be minimal. So with, you know, the backup system that we have in place, we didn't have to pay the ransom. We could just go into our backup, and we were able to restore all the backup items.
That's crazy. Did you see the special on that on 60 Minutes? There was a town.
I don't think I did.
There was a town that...
Well, there's been several towns, several police departments.
Hospitals.
Yeah, hospitals have been hit with that. And, you know, sometimes they just pay the ransom to get the keys to unlock their files because they don't have, you know, good backup solutions.
Yeah. I guess, that's exactly what they did on the show. You know, they paid it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes.
It was like $50,000 to $60,000. It wasn't millions. It was just a simple little chunk of money.
Yeah. And you wonder, you know, one of the things that I say to my clients all the time is, how much is your data worth?
Right.
It's your company. It's your business.
Well, in all the files, it said, instead of having a file, it said, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. That's what every file said. We're so sorry. Like, they were really sorry they had to do it. But look, they needed the money.
Yeah, it's, you know, some of the schemes.
They'll even negotiate the money.
Yeah, yeah.
Not 50, and now how about 40?
And now it's all in Bitcoin, and, you know, it's not traceable.
I love Bitcoin.
Do you
really? I don't know anything about it.
Can I tell you my Bitcoin story?
Absolutely.
Please.
So I was in Costa Rica in like 2015, 17. I go down there for surf trips. Donnie, you know I surf, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one of my friends who lives down there, I don't like traveling with my surfboards because it's expensive. The airlines charge you $100 each way to travel with oversized luggage. And so I went down there and I bought a surfboard down there, you know, a nice surfboard. And I was going to take it back. I was like, you know what? If I can get rid of it after this week, that'd be great. So after the surf trip, I said to my friend, I was like, hey, man, I don't want to take this back to the States. It's going to cost me $100. I spent $500 on a lot of money on the surfboard. You know, would you be interested in taking it? He's like, yeah, man. So I brought the surfboard down from the States. I bought it from East of Maui from Bob Singer. And I paid like $550 for it, maybe $500. He goes, I'll give you $650 for it. I used it, and he also was going to give me a little bit of profit because nice surfboards in Costa Rica are super expensive because they have to import them.
Took advantage.
So I said, okay, it's
That's
cool.
That's why I left my previous employer.
Well, I wasn't taking advantage.
Stinking. I'm loving stinking, too.
I wasn't taking
Corporate
advantage.
Shady.
Yeah. Shady.
He made the offer, so I said, that's cool. So how you want to pay me? He goes, have you heard of Bitcoin? This is 2015. Have you heard of Bitcoin? I was like, kind of, but not really. He said, dude, I'll pay you in Bitcoin, and you're going to give me a hug and kiss like 3-4 later, years later from now. I'm like, all right, like, this is whatever. So I opened up a Bitcoin account. He transfers like $650 of Bitcoin to me. Take a wild guess what it's worth today in my Bitcoin wallet. That was 3-4 years ago.
A million?
Ago. Close.
Because if it is, you're buying less. Bitcoin.
I got $6,000 of Bitcoin.
Holy mackerel.
At a $600.
Now, can you cash that in?
Yeah. That's real money.
Really?
That's the best investment I've ever made.
But now that money's not secure, right?
So, no, it's
not. So, and I don't know hardly anything about it.
So crazy.
You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Right, right.
So you have this Bitcoin, and and it's on your computer.
Right.
And
I'll pull it up for you.
And you can actually lose that. So yeah, well, is that right? So people do bit mining, right, and they mine for coins. Right. So could they actually hit you and take your coins?
No, it is secure, and they call that in like enterprise technology, like blockchain.
Does the FCC regulate that?
I read an article recently that the reason there's a downfall to Bitcoin, and it's that there's a way to get it, take it. Have you ever seen coconut money that I invented?
Anyway, how cool is that?
Is that coconut shells?
It was like six, I think I've got like
that's thing, crazy
6 grand or 5 or 6 grand of Bitcoin now. I got a friend who invested in it like two, three years before. He put $15,000 of Bitcoin in. Has no idea what it was. It's worth $500,000.
That's crazy.
You can buy something with it.
Yeah. Amazon takes Bitcoin.
Yeah, you can buy a lot of places online now except Bitcoin. I think I'm talking out of my butt, but I think eBay does too.
A lot of big online enterprises are accepting Bitcoin. It's a non-regulated currency.
We take sponsorship Bitcoin money.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, right?
Just open up a Coinbase account and start buying like $5 a month of Bitcoin. And it's just like any other stock.
So you can just go on and buy Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's an investment. It's an investment. As you were. I don't want to interrupt.
Now I'm curious.
Me and Donnie are we're going to be rich.
I think I have like $2-3 in my wallet right now.
I'd like to buy $3 of Bitcoin, please.
I was just chatting with my buddy who lives in Africa right now. He says he got $500,000 in Bitcoin. He's an international English teacher for an American school. He travels the world teaching rich kids.
$500,000 would ruin me.
Oh, God.
I'd be just a mess, you know. I'd be the only idiot in Rehoboth with a driver.
Yeah, right.
Honk. Go by the school. I just want to honk. Beep, beep. What's up, kids? So what do you do for fun, man? Where do you live? Do you live down here?
I live in Millsboro.
Millsboro. What do you do for fun? Do you surf?
I do not surf.
Do you travel the world?
I work.
Nice.
That's my fun.
He likes to have fun.
We're working guys. So you could come on the podcast with us, broke and stoked. We are broke. And he's stoked.
Oh. True story.
True story. Well, it is a podcast.
I pay $99 a month just to one of his businesses.
Ooh.
Yeah, funny story. You should tell him the story how we met. And you come in there all like, stiff necked.
Oh, you float?
I do.
He's an advocate.
Nice. Yeah, oh my gosh, it's the best thing. It's the best thing.
I do love it. He says I can't do it unless I haven't had any coffee. And I drink coffee at 5 in the morning.
You know what? I disagree with Carlos on that. And this is why. Because to me, it's not always about going in and getting lost and
100%
floating away. It's about going in and reconnecting with yourself. It's not about falling asleep. It's not about putting your mind into a different state. It's about being alone and allowing that time to, compartmentalize your thoughts, no matter whether you're, wide awake or...
You're hired, Donnie.
Don't cut him off. Let him go.
If I had a Bitcoin for every time he's told me that, I'd have $250,000 Bitcoins.
You know what he did? He gave me some floats. He gave me 3 floats, and then he goes, "But you can't go if you've been drinking coffee." And I'm like,
Donnie's right. Actually, Donnie's right. 100% right about what he just said. He's on because he actually. I'll just leave it there.
Well, you know what I like, and I actually like that because I agree. I'm not the guy that goes in and falls asleep. I don't need to. And I told him the other day, I said, the problem with me is I feel pretty good. You know, I don't need this magical thing to make me feel better. I feel pretty good. So if I'm going to go, it's really just to kind of like float around and just relax and listen to the music and just, like you said, just kind of get centered and reconnect a little bit with myself.
We don't often take a lot of time for ourselves.
I don't take any.
And so it allows you to... be alone and
all that magnesium.
I was just gonna say, don't even get me started on the salts. Mm. I mean those. So when I first had this tattoo done, I just had the outline done, and of course, you can't submerge that in water.
You can't.
No, not a tattoo. Not when it's first done. Oh. Not when it's fresh.
Okay.
So I would go into the pod, and I wouldn't lay down. I would just sit in there. and I would let that magnesium soak in. I would watch TV on my phone. Wow. Just to let that magnesium sink in and, you know, give me some time, you know, no matter what I wanted to do.
I tell that story all the time, Donnie. And when Maxine has new guests, she tells that story, like, to what you just said. It's whatever experience you want it to be.
That's right.
I think you owe us some Bitcoin. That's a serious promotion of Urban Float. That's a good. What do we got?
I found my Bitcoin account. So it went down a little bit, but at the hot lately was last September. It was at 4,600. So yeah, and it just started out at $650.
So where is it at That's now? Let's crazy. Go over to October.
Yeah, it's down to 3,790.
So does it fluctuate Today's a the day lot? To buy. Does it? Does it go up and down a lot? Because, I mean, it looks like there was a big drop there.
Can you buy us some Bitcoin right now, fellas?
Can we transfer to Rehoboth Social?
Yeah, well, I'll give you some cash because I think now's the time to buy, right? We're low.
Mm-hmm. So this is...
I buy $15 a month.
You see that right there? So he has 0.444 Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I don't understand. How can that equal that?
I mean, because it's split up so many times. So many people own it now that it doesn't take much.
So does Bitcoin, trade now?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the...
But I mean, it's like if to buy one Bitcoin, it's a
lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, put it that way. I mean, that's you got a half. Fourth of a coin and you got... So. Probably one Bitcoin is probably what? $12,000?
Something, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how it all works. All I know is that my buddy in 2015 bought my surfboard for $650 and now I've got $3,700.
Carlos, so the question is why aren't you our buddies?
I am. Dude, we're brothers. We're brothers. Family.
Brothers are the worst.
I know.
Exactly.
they treat you like crap.
Just a slight friend is all I'm asking. Just a little bit of friends.
Just slice
my brother
off a
ain't
piece
getting
of
shit
that.
For me. Well, and I like your whole thinking. Let's see. I don't want to take a surfboard because it's too much to travel, so I'm going to buy a brand new one here and then take it. So not only did you buy a surfboard and paid for it. So I'm like...
And then I'm going to gouge the guy that I sell
right.
it to.
I need to get into this kind of thinking to get a Tesla. Like, I don't want to pay the money. I don't want
to... I'd like to have a Tesla.
Oh, I didn't wear it. I have a shirt that says, damn it, the Joneses got a Tesla.
That's great.
That actually is a pretty funny shirt.
And not the band.
Oh, I love Tesla.
I love Tesla, too.
God, I saw them. They opened for
I've
Def
seen them
Leppard.
Like six times. Saw them on that tour. I saw them. It was
Hysteria?
Yes, it was. That's right. It was on that tour.
In the Round.
And then I saw them with Poison down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Poison was the headliner. And they got booed off stage. were so bad.
The headliner got booed off?
Yeah, they were so bad.
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, at the time, are we around, how old are you?
49.
So I'm 51. So we grew up around the same
baby
time.
Baby face. Mm-hmm.
So that was a good time for music, right?
I love that time for music.
I mean, Poison was the shit.
I don't know about that.
I mean, it fit
but
in
I
with
did.
The time. I
it
mean,
did.
It was
it did.
You know, Poison, yeah.
Def Leppard, Great White, yeah. You know, Cinderella, all of those. All of those metal.
I have this vivid memory of going down the escalators at Coronado Mall in Albuquerque, right when in the stand of the night with right when White Snake came out. And I remember my girlfriend was in love with the bass player. I'm like, I hate the bass player because he had the big hair. Yeah,
he'd just whip it around.
Yeah, and I don't know. It was just such a fun time. And I often say, well, these kids don't know what it's like to grow up with great music. But they do. My kids.
They do. There's some good music out there now. I'm a big 311 fan.
Oh,
and
really?
A huge 311 Dirty Heads fan, too.
Are you a Pearl Do you like Pearl Jam?
Chill. Love Pearl Jam. Love the grunge.
Oh, my God.
A lot of the grunge. I wasn't a big Nirvana fan. I think they were overrated. But I'm a big Foo Fighters fan. So
it's so funny. We had this conversation last night, and we were like, we don't like Foo Fighters.
Yeah, I like the Foo Fighters.
I like Foo Fighters, but not like, I'm not a, like, I like some of their old stuff. Like, they're one of their, but I think they've gotten a little bit more poppy.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Right. I'd agree with that.
I'll never forget that bass line coming into the, what was it? I'm so happy that today I lost my friend. And it's like, boom,
You like Nirvana?
I'm not a big Nirvana fan. Now, they had, I think they were overrated, but they had a lot of good songs, like Heart-Shaped Box, stuff like that. I didn't care for their, what was their first album?
Bleach. Nevermind? Oh, Bleach, yeah.
Bleach was their first one, and then Nevermind. They had
Nirvana
a couple of good songs.
Crushed the hair band era. They crushed it down.
Well, see, they kick Axl right in this Jimmy Johnson's.
Motley Crue and Poison crushed them.
I was a huge Guns N' Roses fan when that came out. And I was like, okay, we'll talk to you in a bit, Axl. See ya.
Yeah.
I need to get a flannel.
God. Yeah.
And I love Nevermind. And that, and you know, I'm like you. I got caught up in the moment. I mean, to me, what was the band that had Plush and
Stone Temple Pilots?
To me, that was like kind of the beginning.
Yeah, so... you know, when I go back and I think of grunge, I think of, you know, of course you think of Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and, you know, I think one of the underrated bands of that time was Soundgarden, you know, with, yeah, they were just
so Soundgarden heavy. I was reading this article because at the time, anything Axl said, I was like, yes, and you know.
So
was,
are you a Hanoi Rocks fan? Because you know that was Axl's favorite band.
Yeah, so... it's funny. My girlfriend at the time knew she had been out to L.A. She knew the bass player of Hanoi Rocks.
Yeah. Now is that the one that killed, or is that the one that died in Vince Neil's accident?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think his name was. I'm not even going to say it because I don't want to screw it up. But yeah. So that whole it was a lot. You know, I lived in Albuquerque. I hung out with guys that were in bands. They all were trying to get to L.A. You know, bands would leave Albuquerque to go to L.A. to and you know live in L.A. and try to be you know be a yeah. Another Poison, or sometimes they'd make it to Vegas, and then we were going back and forth. So the whole time was interesting. But I read this article, and Axl was talking about this singer for a band called Soundgarden. So I looked into it. So I bought the very first Soundgarden album. Mm-hmm. That album was awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
And we actually saw... so at the time, I lived out in San Diego, and we went down to a club down in Tijuana called Iguanas. And saw Soundgarden, and they were awesome. But this was back, you know.
Yeah, back in the day.
Way back in the day. And, you know, it was just, I don't know, I feel like it was just a great time for music.
Time for music. You know, all that grunge stuff that come out. And, you know, not to harp on 311 or anything, but 311 formed in 88.
Yeah.
And they just released an album this year.
They did?
Yes, it's called Voyager, and it's fantastic.
Is that your favorite group?
It's by, I'd say probably Pink Floyd, and then probably 311.
Yeah, what's the love for Pink Floyd? Because I think Pink Floyd, and I think of smoking weed. Giddy up.
I do have my card. I am a card carrier, and. And
it's 420 so somewhere.
That's right, in my car.
True that, brother.
So when I was 14,
I said a lot of prayers for that. Right, we prayed for that.
That's
dear
right.
Lord.
That's
please
right.
Please make pot legal.
Yeah, I was like, please make pot legal, but don't have to cut my neck open for me to get it. But
dear
you know
baby
what? They
Jesus,
they did, and I have it.
Yeah, dear green baby Jesus.
Yeah,
dear baby green Jesus.
Yeah, so I think I was 14, and my brother-in-law, I have five older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I have no brothers. And so my brother-in-law was kind of like a brother to me, and he bought me two albums. He bought me Led Zeppelin IV, and he bought me Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon.
Mm.
And from there, I just fell in love with Pink Floyd. You know, everything back to, you know, 67, 68 with Sid Barrett. You know, all the way up to
several
the division
species
bell.
Of animals gathered together in a cave and grooving to a pict.
With a pict, yes.
With a pict, I apologize.
Yes. That's a weird album.
That's a weird album. Is that animals?
Amagama.
Amagama.
Yeah, that was 68, 69. They released that.
I started smoking pot like in 15.
Yeah, I was 13.
And maybe even 13. I don't even know, but... yeah. And Pink Floyd soon followed.
Yeah,
and I can remember
course. That's a natural progression.
Smoking
of things.
Pot and laying on my waterbed at night and listening
your
to
your waterbed.
Oh yeah, the waterbed.
That's 80s right there.
Did you have 80s. A water? Did you ever have a waterbed?
I did.
They were the best.
I did.
They
have
should
a
bring bed. Them back.
Yeah, it's called a flotation pod.
Word.
That's right.
Except you can't do certain things in the flotation pot, like you can in the waterbed.
You can filter that thing 6 times.
Ain't enough filtering you can go. Sin pod is what that is. But
the,
I love
that's the adult version. It's after hours.
I actually saw The Wall in the movie theater.
Really?
Yep. I did. And interesting. I have a client, John, who does, he teaches a class down in Lewis on films, old films. And he's an old guy, so he does it, you know, it's a something he volunteers to do. He has a group of people that they discuss movies and stuff. And I'm like, John, you should do one on The Wall. He's like, I never thought about that. So he gets in and he buys The Wall and he's watching it. He gives me a new copy of it, a stretched version, because I had never seen The Wall. I'd only seen it in the old format, you know, the regular whatever that, you know, not a widescreen version.
Not HD.
Right, not an HD. And he gave me another version of it. Have you ever seen it in HD?
I can't remember the last time. I have it on DVD.
You probably so you probably haven't watched the compressed version.
Before, probably. And, I mean, I've had it probably since the 80s.
The Wall it's a brilliant movie. It's, you know, when I watched it, because I just really recently watched it. He came back, he goes, I love that. He goes, I hadn't really, I'd seen it, but, you know, of course, since it's Pink Floyd, I poo-pooed it. But now, taking a look at it as far as a movie I could teach to a class, he goes, it's great. And he's teaching the movie to this class of people down in Lewis. But he gave me the HD version of it, and it's an amazing movie. And I love, I don't know if you've ever, if you knew this, but there is actually a movie soundtrack version of The Wall.
Well, I know that they released that on vinyl.
Right.
That had the Tigers, When the Tigers Broke Free in it, and it wasn't, so there was one song on there, it was called Empty Spaces, but in the movie it was different as well, and that was on the
yeah. So
on the soundtrack.
That's the soundtrack that I had always had. I had the movie soundtrack. And then they released The Wall just on album, but it was more Roger Waters singing a lot of that stuff, where I think in the movie it's, who's the guy that played Pink?
Bob Geldof. He sang the opening song.
Right.
And that was it. He didn't sing anything else.
That was it. But I remember, but the opening thing he sang was pretty cool.
Yeah, In the Flesh.
Yeah.
That was what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I almost want to start singing it.
Yeah. So, you know, so I'm such a big Pink Floyd fan. So I like The Wall as a movie and as a Pink Floyd fan. It wasn't one of my favorite albums from them because it was a Roger Waters album. Oh. So they almost did. I think it was a year after Roger Waters released Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking. So they were actually thinking about releasing that instead of The Wall. So The Wall might have become a Roger Waters album, and then Pink Floyd would have released The Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking.
I didn't really realize that it is a Roger Waters album.
Yeah, so it's about his father and about his growing up.
Was David Gilmour even in the band then?
He was. He was, but I can't remember who was on that album. So it was either Richard Wright, who was the keyboardist. I think it was him. And I think Rick Mason, the drummer. I don't think the keyboardist was on that one, Richard Wright.
Well, I've always been a fan. I don't know the band members enough to, like, go back and forth with you.
Yeah,
on it,
so that's really when they—that's really when they started. You know, after Animals was really when they started.
What is your favorite? What's your favorite Pink Floyd?
Oh, it'd be Metal.
Metal.
Yeah, it came out in 70.
It is.
It came out 72, I think. So they released a movie with that. It was called Pink Floyd Live at Pompeii. So they go into the old Pompeii. What's that, where they used to have the fight, the gladiator fight? So they went into the
Rome?
Room. Well, Pompeii.
Okay.
So they used
the
to have
the Colosseum.
Yeah, the Colosseum. So they went into the Pompeii Colosseum, and now this was 72 or so, and they had solar panels set up everywhere no crowd, just them playing songs.
Wow.
It was fantastic. And they had excerpts from recording of The Dark Side of the Moon.
Is that it? Oh, no, that's Eddie.
That looks like Roger Waters and Eddie Vedder.
Well, and the whole, you know, the whole story about, I've seen a few documentaries about the whole, because they, you know, they were kind of going at it, fighting. And, you know, Roger Waters is like, yeah, I'm over here playing in to 50 people in a club while David Gilmour's playing to a sold out giant stadium doing the Pink Floyd. And then Roger Waters had his turn.
Well, he didn't want them to have the Pink Floyd name.
Right.
He believed that that name was his. And him and Sid actually created that. And, you know, they were two jazz musicians, I think it was, or blues musicians.
Yeah.
Something Pink and something Floyd.
Have you ever seen them live?
I saw them live in 94. They had just released the Division Bell. I saw them in the old Three Rivers Stadium up in Pittsburgh.
Did you like that album, the Division Bell?
Loved it.
Yeah. I saw, that's when David Gilmour did the live Pink Floyd. That was us.
Yeah, no, I don't remember the concert.
Oh, hey now, hey now. Hey-o.
I know I went.
Well, I was there.
And there was Data. I know Data came out of there. Well, listen, Donnie, we appreciate you coming on.
And thanks for having me.
Thanks for chatting about some other stuff other than just, you know, we want to be a value of corporate. Corporate's like, you know, we got to be a value. We need to be a value. So hopefully we have some value. But I also love hearing the others, you know, having fun about Pink Floyd.
Oh, I'll talk all day.
I had a guy come on the other day, and I'm like, all right, well, what do you see the future of digital media? And he's like, well, I was just kind of hoping we could have one of those free flow chats that you do so well. I go, oh, well, you should have told me because I'm trying to be a value. But yeah.
You're a value.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
I'm value to somebody.
Sometimes.
Hey, you need to get your card. You need to lighten up over there. I think that you're...
No kidding.
I still like that philosophy. It's $100 to ship it, so I bought one and then took it over.
Well, I did, but I had the intention of selling it when I got there.
Does Amy listen to these podcasts?
Clearly not.
So we can talk about your guitar.
Hey, easy.
Hey, Donnie, listen. I always say to anybody that comes on the podcast, thank you.
Thank you.
You had
Donnie.
An hour and you spent it with us. You could have probably done something, maybe making money, but
I was just gonna say that. Thanks, Tom.
Invoices in the mail.
I already told my kids that they weren't gonna eat this week because I had to come on here.
I dropped my kids off this morning and my son's teacher called me, goes, they have a field trip today, and he was supposed to pack lunch. I go, oh, well, I'm not turning around. And she goes, well, maybe you could stop bringing back some McDonald's. I go, I'd rather he didn't eat than got McDonald's. So she laughed. But I go, I'm sorry, I'm
That's
a bad
funny.
Dad. Well, listen, Donnie,
You're
thank
not
you.
A bad dad.
Thank you, Donnie. You should come back more often.
Anytime.
You make me feel better.
I don't have anything else to do.
Well, listen, Donnie, thank you. Corporate,
Thanks,
thank
brother.
You.
Thank you, man.
We will have you back if you'd like to come on. Maybe you can come hang out
Anytime.
With us on Broken
sure.
Stoked and talk.
Yeah, I love to talk.
All right, brother.
All right,
pal. Talk to you later, pal.
See you guys.
All right,
Bye.
Guys.